You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Eagles are on the clock, and we here at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation welcome you in to episode 2 of the 2020 BGN Draft Specials. I am your host, Michael Kist. Follow me on Twitter at Michael Kist NFL. That's K-I-S-T. And we just wrapped up day 3 of Senior Bowl practices, so we've got to talk about winners and losers and the boxes checked or still unchecked with these 2020 NFL Draft prospects down here in Mobile, Alabama. If you missed the day 1 recap, make sure you go back and listen to that as well, and make sure that you're subscribed to this feed right here to get all the Eagles content that you need in your life. Also follow at @BGN_radio on Twitter to keep updated on when these shows are dropping into your feed. And with that out of the way, let's talk about these 3 days of Senior Bowl practices. Let's kick it to my chat with Eric Turner of Cover One. And joining me today for this draft special is a good friend of mine. He is Eric Turner. You can follow him on Twitter at @Cover_One_. Eric, brother, good to be here with you. How you doing, man?
Not too bad, man. It's been a while. It's been a long time since we've been on the same show together, man. You're big and famous now, dude. You big time now?
Yeah, you know. When I had to bring you in, help you get some publicity out there. Yeah, you know, yeah. Get to give it back. But no, me and Eric go back like a long time doing this stuff. We interact all the time on Twitter. We're staying at the same doggone B&B here in Mobile, Alabama. Yeah. So this is a guy that really knows his stuff, and I really respect the heck out of his opinion because he's constantly working on his craft. So having you here to talk draft is awesome. It'll be great for the listeners. First thing that I wanted to ask you out of the gate, because Cover One focuses on the draft, but they also have a focus on the Bills as well. You're a Bills fan, dirty Bills fan. We've gone back and forth.
Big Josh Allen fan, let me tell you.
Both of us in this room. Both of us in this room are huge Josh Allen fans, probably for different reasons. Yes. I think he's very, very entertaining. But obviously, you know, the Bills are going to be looking to improve their squad, so they're not one and done again. Sorry to bring that up.
That's okay.
As far as, just so I can kind of get like a framework of the guys that you were looking at so people can understand, and also if Bills fans are listening as well, what were you looking for from a Bills lens, positional-wise, talent-wise, stuff like that?
Well, from looking at your timeline, your listeners will know that Josh Allen has a little bit of an accuracy issue. So. Yeah. And the Bills receivers are known as the Smurfs. They're all under 6 foot pretty much. So the Bills are looking for a contested catch guy, a jump ball guy, 50-50, you know, back shoulder type guy. So this week I've been kind of focusing on some of those guys, you know, the Michael Pittman Juniors, the Chase Claypools, guys that have that, you know, catch radius, because Josh needs those kind of guys. Outside of that, edge rushers, I mean, you know, the Bradley and Nyes, who I'm sure we'll talk about, Josh Uche is from Michigan. So guys like that who I've been focusing on, because in the first couple rounds, those will be the positions that they're going to look to upgrade.
So looking at those wide receivers, let's talk about those big contested catch type guys, because a guy that has been lighting it up all week and had a huge day 3 was Denzel Mims. But first, I kind of want to qualify what's going on here with the drills, and we can kind of talk about what you should take away from it and what people might take away from it, and maybe kind of put an outsized emphasis on what it is. Because, I mean, like day 1, each team maybe had like 5 minutes of one-on-one. So we're declaring these winners and losers based on very few reps, which can be dangerous. So just as far as the one-on-ones go, how do you feel that they can kind of be over-important? And what are you really looking for there? What's important to you?
Well, I mean, first of all, yeah, you have to keep it in perspective, right? Like, this is an all-star game. It's geared towards, you know, putting guys that are along the same level or guys looking to prove and you know, improve their draft stock. You got to keep it that in mind when you're talking about these one-on-one drills, because they're not really realistic, especially the wide receivers and DBs. I mean, they have all day to run these routes. I mean, and it's nice to have, you know, guys like Van Jefferson, KJ Hill. Those guys know how to run routes and know how to set up leverage. But it also takes 4 or 5 seconds for some of these routes to develop. So you got to keep that in mind, and you got to factor that in on the defensive side too when you're watching these cornerbacks. But it always comes back to it's the film, right?
Yeah.
That's what we came up, you know, in scouting academy and everything. We're film guys. And so you always have to fall back on that. So while it's fun and while you're going to get a lot of whos and has in the stands and whatnot during these one-on-one drills, you got to, you know, keep it in reference, keep it in perspective, and always fall back on the film. That's my motto when I come out here and watch these guys play.
Yeah, because, I mean, you watch a guy like Denzel Mims, and he has this great week and everything like that. And the film does show a lot of that stuff at the catch point. Very good at timing his hands up, getting physical, but not without getting the penalty, creating that small window at the catch point where he can show the late hands. He's very nuanced there. And I feel like as a route runner, you know, his track background helps him and whatnot, but he is a work in progress there. So with Mims, I felt he won the week. I also thought he showed better than I thought he would. As a route runner, the eye-popping clips are going to be all over the timeline because the guy is a monster. But I do feel like there is still more work to do, and that work's going to be on the film. What did you think about his week overall?
He was probably the most consistent, right?
Yeah.
But the traits that you saw on film, they translated here this week, you know, above the rim type player. And as you said, hands. I like his hands, not just, you know, at the catch point and him being able to jump up and win those contested catches, but I like how he's very subtle on his push-offs. Well, today he wasn't so subtle. There was two penalties on a couple push-bys coming back for the ball that there were actually, you know, flags thrown. But I do like, you know, it's very subtle and you won't really see him too often, you know, extend that arm and get that call. But today, there were so many flags on this one play when he was trying to come back to the ball that it was almost like the flags were falling from the rafters in the indoor stadium there. So I do think he was the most consistent this week, but to me, I mean, Van Jefferson from Florida, man. Talk about him a little bit because he's a guy I really liked coming in. His film was fantastic, very nuanced. And he's a guy that if you want to throw the ball to the middle of the field, he's a guy that can get there and make a play for your quarterback. And some of his just slant routes, man.
Yeah.
The way he sets up the leverage and gets to the middle of the field, it's very pretty. And then his eyes, he changes the speed of his route stems, a lot of different paces from the release all the way to the top of the route. I think he was probably the best receiver in my eye this week, on top of Mims.
Speaking of Jefferson, what's funny is I went back to the tape on Jefferson this morning. I watched him against LSU because I wanted to see some against really good corners, right? So in that game, he goes 8-for-73 with 2 touchdowns. And in my notes, I mean, it's slant release, crossover, slant release.
He does it all, man.
Yep.
It's route, pretty, too.
Route tempo, all of that stuff, all of that was very pretty from him on tape. So it matched what we saw here, which is very important
because
you want to make sure that checks out. So Van, for me, older prospect, I'm not sure that I care because what I saw from him, I'm comfortable with what he is.
Yes.
He might not grow athletically, but I'm okay with who he is. So I don't mind the age.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, I'm not really big on the whole age thing and the whole market share thing, but that's not really my thing. I'm mainly a film guy, but I don't care. He's QB friendly. He gets open and he gets open at all levels. I mean, he goes up and gets the ball. He's competitive. He made some money this week. I think he definitely made some money this week.
Okay. So let's go to another wide receiver that you thought improved his stock. We'll go with the Ohio State guy. We'll go with KJ Hill. So KJ Hill, a guy from Ohio State, probably has to work in the slot at the next level, if I'm not mistaken, because there are some issues getting off of press there, the use of the hands, everything like that. But, I mean, the guy had a beautiful one-handed catch today that people already probably saw all over Twitter because I think everyone posted it.
It's nuts.
But, like, the detail in his route running, the ability to separate is there for him. What'd you think of his week?
That catch that you're just talking about right now, it was a good wrap up to the week because, I mean, he's getting open everywhere at all levels. When he caught that, the ball, he was going from right to left on the field because we're in the end zone. We only had to stay in the end zone for the practice today. The ball was coming from right to left and he's running and the ball comes behind him. He one hands it right into his palm, but he's not worried about pulling it in.
Right.
It was like slow motion. He's pulling it in, but he's looking upfield to make a move.
Yeah.
And that right there was just a good way for him to end the week because it showed his play speed. He's not even worried about, you know, because he knows what's up ahead of him, and that's nobody. He's trying to get to the boundary. I think that was just a good way for him to end it, and not many guys could cover him this week.
Yeah. If you had to pick Van Jefferson or KJ Hill.
Ooh, man. I mean, I'd go with Hill because then I think that's when the whole age thing does kind of play into it. I think overall, I think Jefferson had a better week. But if we're talking, and they're kind of different guys too, because like you said, one's going to be in the slot a lot more. So, I mean, you got to factor that into. And when you're watching receivers, right, you kind of have different buckets for slot guys versus, you know, X's and Z's. So you got to keep that in perspective, too. But I think it was a good day for him today.
Another good day. You said before we were doing this show, we were talking about guys. Notre Dame, Chase Claypool, another bigger guy. He's 229 pounds. And this is a big dude. I thought he had a decent couple of days. And then today, you were telling me that he showed out much better. What do you think of Chase?
Yeah, he had a great day today. And it was a good way to end it. And he had another one of those moments, too, because he was not only big timing guys and breaking off some nice routes on special teams. That's how he's, if he's going to play in this league, he's going to have to play special teams. And during one of the kick return drills, he showed a lot of hustle, got in his lane, got on his block, and the special teams coach came running 25 yards down the field and said, "Hey, good job," gave him some depth.
Nice.
So little things like that for a guy like that, that's probably one of, you know, mid to late round wide receivers. That's how you're going to get on the field, and that's what coaches love. And when you look at him, man, like, he's a big guy. He's the big body receiver, but he's pretty cut. He's in good shape, too. He's not kind of like rail thin like Pittman Jr. He's got some muscle to him.
Nice. So let's keep it on the offensive side of the ball. Let's go with the offensive line. Obviously, right now, everyone is talking about the Houston left tackle, Josh Jones. We just got back to the room and we were watching some of him. He's got some things to work on, but he showed out really well. But the two LSU guys really showed out. Talking about Cushy Bear. Cushion Berry from LSU, the center, and then the guard, Damian Lewis. What did you like about their weeks?
Cushion Berry yesterday for day two was my favorite player. He was the top player yesterday for me. His quickness out of his stance is remarkable. His pad level is so low. I mean, he gets guys, his helmet's right under the dude's chin, and he's there so quickly. There's no way that the defender can win leverage on him. Mm. And I know a lot of scouts were talking about him the last couple of days, and I think he definitely helped improve his stock. I mean, some of his reach blocks. There's one clip on our timeline where he reach blocked Kinlaw. It was just beautiful, man. It was one of the best reach blocks I've seen in the last couple of years come down here to Senior Bowl.
So let's talk about some more interior offensive linemen. We can talk about Jonah Jackson from OSU, maybe Ben Bredesen.
Bredesen,
from Michigan. And a guy that we were watching film on last night, John Simpson from Clemson, was some really interesting tape to watch because he had some real pop. What do you think of those guys?
I like Simpson personally because, I mean, I watched him a lot coming here because he's a left guard. Bills kind of need to, you know, upgrade there. Big guys, 330 pounds. You know, when he gets his hands on you, I mean, he's going to torque you, no problem. Yeah. Like, hands down, former wrestler, plays with decent leverage.
Yep.
Does get on his toes a little too often. And he can, you know, that push-pull can kind of get him off balance there. But I think he's a guy, you could tell, him and Stenberg, Logan Stenberg, which is the right guard from Kentucky, those two guys are probably the most powerful offensive linemen down here in Mobile.
What about the other guards? The guy from OSU, Jonah Jackson, and then Bredesen.
Yeah, I like Jackson. He it was his only year at Ohio State, but it was nice to see him kind of bump over the other side, play a little right guard too this week. His hands weren't as good. His punch wasn't as strong and effective at right guard. But I thought this week he did a really good job on, like, especially gap schemes.
Yeah.
He worked that combination block and then worked to the backside linebacker, sprung Joshua Kelly from UCLA yesterday. I thought he had a really good week. And again, mainly in the gap scheme, though. Mainly in the gap scheme. So because his footwork's not the best, in my opinion, but he did really well. Same with Bredesen. They're almost similar players.
Yeah.
I'd say Bredesen maybe isn't as nasty, but I like both of those players. And again, those are positions that the Bills are going to, you know, try to look and upgrade.
Are you buying the first round hype? I alluded to him before. Josh Jones from Houston, probably going to start getting first round buzz after this week. Are you there yet?
No. Not after I see that vertical set he's doing right now. No, I have to watch more film on him. We did just, you know, watch
a few reps, one game.
But yeah, he has a backpedal for a vertical set, basically. So I do want to go back and look at some more of his film from this week, too, because, you know, they put him in a lot of vertical sets this week. And so, and honestly, he didn't, I don't remember him really screwing anything up, per se, but he's a pretty athletic kid. I think he stood out more in the run game, on scooping to the second level on outside zone. On the backside, on one of the plays yesterday, it was a zone runaway, and he was 10, 15 yards downfield from the backside, making a block and springing a running back. So he's a guy that can get down the field at the second and third level, and if you're a zone team, I think he's a guy that would be right up your alley.
So he's intriguing, but not necessarily first round we're buying. Yeah, but we're going to check the film, right?
Yeah, we'll check the film. We'll be nice right now and check the film.
we'll do the Hugh Jackson thing. So, but when we come back, we're going to switch sides from the offensive side of the ball to the defensive side of the ball. That's coming up next here on BGN.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on, and there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
And we are back here on BGN for this 2020 draft special. Michael Kist here with Eric Turner, brought to you, of course, by SB Nation, Bleeding Green Nation. Let's get right to one of the guys that I really felt won the week. I was disappointed that Jeff Gladney from TCU wasn't going to participate. Disappointed that the LSU cornerback Christian Fulton wasn't able to go. But a guy that made himself a lot of money in all 3 days, very consistent performance from him, was Troy Pride Jr. from Notre Dame. Showed some great footwork. Really sticky. He was running routes for guys all week. What did you think of Troy throughout the week?
Yeah, I agree. He was probably the best DB this week. And I talked to some scouts today about what he's going to run. And he's telling people he's going to run into 4.3s. That would be remarkable. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but it was interesting to see him work outside, work inside. He didn't get big body by some of the receivers of the during the drills. I think that his lateral agility is phenomenal.
Yeah, I agree.
The other thing is, you got to keep in mind, this week, there's only so many plays and so many routes that these teams and these receivers are going to run. And I felt like he was running the routes for them.
Yep.
So that route recognition and picking that up in 1 to 2 days, that to me stands out about him. And you didn't see that much from other cornerbacks this week. So that to me is something that you should keep in mind when you're watching film or when you're watching this on TV. That, there are instances where these players are learning. And that, to me, I love when you can see that or feel that when you're on the field watching these guys.
I think that also might be a sign of his preparation coming into this thing, because he knows the wide receivers he's going to be going up against. He can study their tendencies coming into it. And that shows you, the kind of film work that he put in. Because you're right. I mean, he was reading their minds out there, it felt like.
Totally. And, I was looking back at my notes of Michael Pittman Jr. And when he struggled, two of my notes were, he struggled versus aggressive press type corners against Notre Dame. against Notre Dame. And if you look back on Twitter and see a bunch of the clips from this week, Troy Pride, he gave it to Pittman this week.
Yeah.
Especially on those in-breaking routes that he knows that Pittman, excels at. And so he was jumping those routes. He was in his pocket the whole week. And that's a good point about, that film studying coming in. How much work did these guys do beforehand? Not just working with coaches and technique, but studying your opponent, because that will help your draft stock. And we saw it with him.
Yeah. It's time to make money, and you do it any way that you can. Speaking of guys that make money, we'll go to the defensive line now. Let's talk about a guy that I'm very intrigued by. Didn't have a whole lot of production in college at Michigan. We're talking about Josh Uche. Had 7 sacks 2 years ago and then 7.5 sacks this year. You wonder if because the dynamic production isn't there, but what I'm hearing is his stock is definitely rising. The guy is plenty bendy, has tools to work with. I think he could add some mass to his frame, but overall, what do you think about Uche?
He is quick.
Yeah.
And he has remarkable bend. There was one play yesterday versus Heck, the tackle from North Carolina, where he came around the corner, and I thought he literally put his hand down, but because from my angle up in the stands in the end zone, I couldn't see because there were guys in the way. Well, look at it from another angle. He never put his hand down, and he was literally just bending the corner there, running the hoop and running back up into the pocket. So I also liked him in the two-man drills where they're working some stunts and some twists, and he won inside and outside. So as the looper, he was running from outside in, and he looped inside, and the guard had him squared up perfectly. It didn't matter. On one play, He took him back inside. On the other play, took him back outside on a twist. Mm. So, and he had enough speed and burst to finish at the quarterback.
Yeah.
All on him in the proper amount of time it would take on a normal play. So he was interesting to see. I know there are a couple of plays I saw also on Twitter where he's covering guys down the field. I don't know. I mean, so he did, you know, did some stuff off the ball, which he did kind of do at Michigan at times too. Yeah. But he is a little light for your base 4-3 defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
So the defensive coordinator is going to have to be pretty creative with a guy like that. But when they have athleticism like he does, I mean, you can work with that.
Yeah, you make it work. And another guy that was making it work this week, the other edge guy that really impressed me is Bradley Anai from Utah. Tell me about Bradley.
Oh, my goodness. He's probably the most polished edge rusher here this week. Tons of moves. I mean, he showed them all today. This week as well. I don't know how high his ceiling is, but his floor is super high.
Okay.
So he's a guy that he doesn't have the closing speed. If you throw a tight end, if you have that formation close and he's out wide and 7 or 9, I don't know if he's going to get home with a speed rush.
Yeah.
But if you have an open-ended formation and he's going against a tackle, he can beat down that edge, and he'll do it with his pass rush moves, not so much with his closing speed.
Okay, and let's keep it on the defensive line. We'll go to the interior. A guy that I really liked the film throughout the year, not the film, I was watching the broadcast copy. I hate when people do that. I was watching the broadcast of Oklahoma, and Nevin Gallimore was really impressive, and he was getting some wins in one-on-ones. What'd you think of his week overall?
He had a great week. I think there's some refinement in his hands that's still needed, because some of the chops and the swipes were effective, but he was also hitting guys in their head instead of in the shoulder pads. So, but he's very explosive. And the thing I like about him, and the thing that excites me about him, is coming from that Oklahoma system, a lot of that tight front, a lot of that odd front look, played a lot of nose tackle.
Yeah.
Put him at, say, a 3 tech, some snaps at nose. When he gets NFL coaching, how high is that ceiling?
Yeah.
Because when he gets NFL coaching, and we saw that yesterday prior to practice, the defensive line coach for the Lions, Bo Davis, and Ty Warren, former Patriot, I didn't even realize he was a coach. Well, they were working with all the defensive linemen, Anai and all those guys. They were, Gallimore was always the first guy up. He was the alpha there. That's what you want to see. And the coaches were working with him on defeating combination blocks, defeating how to get not to get reached on zone runs, and he picked up on it really quickly. And again, that's not something he did a lot of at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
He was more of that penetrating nose tackle,
yeah,
one gap type of guy. So he was not really tasked with reading run concepts and leveraging properly in that regard. So that'll be interesting to see him at the next levels when he gets that NFL coaching and he's in a system for a few years, because that ceiling could just go even higher.
So I want to dial back to Notre Dame. I want to dial back to the defensive backs, and I want to talk about a safety. Number one, I thought the one safety, Alohi, what's his last name? Alohi
Gilman.
Gilman had a good week, and then he picked up an injury. He wasn't able to finish the week, which is unfortunate. But his teammate, Jalen Elliott, had a good week, right?
Yeah, he did. He finished off again today really well. He was a guy that was playing a lot of single high today, especially from the 30 or 20 yard in. And he was calling out of the coverage, calling out mesh concept. Hey, watch out for the mesh. And he called it out because he saw that the Z receiver had a tight, nasty split.
Yeah.
Like, just little things like that we love, you know, when you can. And that was cool about today is you were on the field with them in the end zone and you can hear the communication. He was always that guy in charge.
Nice.
And there was one play where a receiver was coming across the middle. The quarterback threw him the ball, threw a hospital ball, really. And Elliott was lining up that receiver, but obviously he didn't unleash on him.
Nice.
But he was like, yeah, he told the receiver, he's like, yeah, you're lucky you didn't go catch that. Because the receiver looked down, he dropped, he didn't go for it. And Elliott was like, yeah, you would have got a rib shot right there. Yeah.
That's interesting. So a good week for Elliott. And I'm going to put you on the spot with a final question here, Eric. Mm-hmm. At 22, you're the Buffalo Bills. And look, I understand. Boy. It's January 23rd. Thursday when we're recording this, so we have a long way to go in this process. But who is your guy right now? If I were to say mock him right now, and you can have your choice of a guy that's going to be realistically there, who are the Bills taking there?
I think the Bills are going to trade up for Justin Herbert, Josh Allen 2.0.
Jeez. I mean, it would be the smart thing. They don't have the balls to do it.
No. I'm just trolling you there, yeah, bro. No, I mean, like I said, it's between DN and wide receiver. I think if Higgins makes it there, I think he's the guy that's been rumored to be, you know, the apple of their eye, but they do need one of those two positions. And as you know, deep as this wide receiver class is, how many of those are going to be immediate playmakers in the same with the traits that Josh Allen needs?
Right.
Because he needs weapons around him. So
because Denzel Mims like is like that kind of guy, but he may be a guy that doesn't really break out till year two, year three.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. And so Higgins has played in a lot of big games.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's produced. So he's a guy that the Bills would like, and especially because, again, experience is a big thing for Sean McDermott and his staff.
Mm. Eric, thank you for joining me here. Let the gentle listeners know where they can follow you, where they can follow all of your great work.
Yeah, I also write for The Athletic, Buffalo, and you can find me on Twitter at cover_1_. And make sure to follow all our guys, cover1.net. Again, that's our website. We do a lot of draft stuff. Russell Brown, Brad Kelly, Zach Hicks, Christian Page. Those guys banged out content all week, did a great job. I know, you know, a couple of them joined you this yep. week, and we always appreciate you, you know, giving us some exposure.
Of course, bud. So that's going to do it for this BGN Draft special. We thank Eric for joining us. Remember, smash that subscribe button. Follow at @BGN_radio. Keep checking Bleeding Green Nation for all of your Eagles news, and we'll catch you next time here at Draft Central here at BGN headquarters.
BGN.